Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by TakeLine. Sports, culture, takes, TakeLine has it all. TakeLine is a weekly podcast hosted by Emmy winner Jason Concepcion and former WNBA champ Renee Montgomery. That's a fast-paced exploration of the NBA and the world of sports and culture. Each week, Jason and Renee talk about the games, players, controversies, and issues that run both on and off the court. Follow now to hear TakeLine every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is also brought to you by the Locker Room app. Guys, it is an exciting brand new app that I'm very privileged to be a part of. I have a live show on at Club 34/7. Bears Talk Underground presents Club 34/7 every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. And the app itself, Locker Room, is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news, and so much more. You know, and the live the app is there so you can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. Guys, this is something I plan on using during the season, you know, to maybe do some watch parties. Maybe we'll try it out during the preseason, have some watch-alongs, have some of you guys come in and talk to me while we're watching the games and all that kind of stuff. We can talk with other fans, insiders, you know, join in on the conversation with me. All you need to do to get in on the fun is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join in on the fun. You know, follow me and you can be notified when my room goes live, and it will be going live every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. It's the Locker Room app. It's Club 34/7 on the Locker Room app every Wednesday at 8. Be sure and join in on the fun. You don't want to miss it.
This is a Locker Room production.
Okay. So what's going on, everybody? Thanks for dropping in. Yes, Vlad, or Eli, sorry, you can request to speak. Ashton. Okay, we got two. What's going on, guys?
Yeah, not much. Just listened to your previous episode about the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm almost done with it. I mean, yeah, I completely agree with everything you said in there. But yeah, I do think he will be starting by the end of the season, because I honestly don't think Andy Dalton will lead us anywhere. That's just my opinion.
In my opinion, I don't know. I watch Justin Fields. Are you talking about Justin Fields, Eli?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So I feel like he can start about week 10, in my opinion. It depends on what Andy Dalton does and how that offense is doing.
Well, I agree with you guys. And I think that, you know, it would be to our benefit and to Justin Fields' benefit, I believe, to sit and learn as long as is humanly possible. But the situation is a lot different, you know, with Justin Fields than it was for Mitch for a lot of reasons. Number one, we actually have some talent around him this time. Back in 2017, I was pounding the table for the Bears not to draft a quarterback, not Watson, not Mahomes, not anybody, because Jordan Howard was the entirety of our offense. He was it. We didn't have anybody for him to throw the football to. We'd have tight ends, wide receivers, and Ryan Pace did not exactly go out and break the bank for John Fox in that offseason leading up to the draft. It's like drafting a quarterback was going to be a monumental mistake, I thought. This time, we have Allen Robinson. We got Cole Kmet. We got Tariq Cohen coming back. We got Montgomery in the backfield. We got Darnell Mooney. Marquise Godwin or Goodwin. You know, we've got plenty of people for him to throw the football to. And he's also surrounded by years and years of NFL experience as far as the quarterback room with Dalton and Foles and all of their extensive experience, not to mention DeFilippo, the quarterback or the coach from Texas is a quarterback guy, Herman, you know, Bill Lazor, Matt Nagy. These are all quarterback guys. So he's got this wealth of knowledge, and he's actually got talent and weapons. And he's also about three times more experienced in the college game than Mitch was playing,
you know,
in
other
games, national stage, yeah, national TV, the whole nine yards. He has everything Mitch didn't when he came in 2017.
Well, this leads me to my next question. Like, you're talking about Justin Fields. How do you think he'll do, like, once he gets that starting role?
Well, I think Fields is a stud. I thought he was my favorite quarterback in the class.
Really?
And I know that I'm biased because we live in Big Ten country, so I've seen Justin Fields play quite a bit, you know. And obviously we see Trevor Lawrence play a lot, you know, all the time because of the Clemson being on the national stage and everything. But aside from Lawrence, is like, you know, Fields was always the guy. And aside from, you know, if you didn't belong to Jacksonville, or, you know, then Lawrence was a fantasy for anybody else. And Justin Fields seemed like he was unattainable, like he was a fantasy for us because we're picking at 20, and he was definitely a top five talent, in my opinion. But the dominoes fell the way they did, and Justin Fields makes it to 11. The Bears were able to make the trade and go up and get him. So, you know, even though I was kind of adamant against the Bears doing that, it's because I was terrified as to what the price would be. When the trade went through and I found out what it was going to cost us, it seemed like a very reasonable deal, in my opinion. So, and then we went and got Tevin Jenkins in the second round, so I got to have my cake and eat it too. You know, we got who I consider to be the best quarterback, not named Trevor Lawrence, and the offensive tackle that I wanted the Bears to draft if we'd stayed at 20. So,
yeah,
I'm very excited about how we did.
Well, with another thing that's different with Fields than with Mitch, I feel like the expectation around the league is much lower. Mitch was taken second overall. There's a big difference, even if it's only nine picks. Like, if you're talking nine picks in the sixth round, it doesn't matter. But, like, nine picks, like, going from 2 to 11 is a big jump. If you have a lot higher expectations if you're going from the second overall pick than if you are from the ninth overall pick or from the 11th overall pick. So I definitely think that's a very key difference for him. There's not as much pressure. He doesn't have the weight in the world on his shoulders.
Well, I mean, I agree, and I don't at the same time, because the opinion of Justin Fields versus Mitch is much higher. Like, Justin Fields, at the beginning, go back to the beginning of the offseason when you were looking at mock drafts at the end of the season, whether it be then the end of the regular season or the playoffs, the number two pick in the draft was Justin Fields going to the Jets after Trevor Lawrence went to, Jacksonville. And then as the offseason started to roll around, maybe some concerns about the epilepsy thing that Justin Fields has, along with other people looking at different needs, San Francisco making the trade and them always kind of looking at Trey Lance and things like that, he started to tumble down the board a little bit. And, you know, I just think talent-wise, he's a more complete player than Mitch. The guy runs a 4.4 40, and, you know, he's basically been training for this his whole life. Justin Fields came on my radar a few years ago because he was one of the subjects of a Netflix documentary called QB1. And it was him, and it showed that camp that everybody's been talking about where he was going up against Trevor Lawrence, and he's like, I'm here to win. I didn't come here to make friends and all that kind of stuff. It took him through a senior season, you know, where he's nationally ranked and being recruited by everybody under the sun. Kind of thing. And then he transfers to Ohio State before the 2019 season. And I've been seeing him play quite a bit since then. And in 2 years in Ohio State, he made it to a national semifinal, where they probably should have beaten Clemson in that game, and to follow up the next year by actually beating Clemson, actually beating the doors off of Clemson, only to run in one of the best college football teams of all time in the national championship game. So he's been on the biggest stage. He's faced a lot of things Mitch never saw coming into the league, you know, and I feel that he's better prepared, which is why the wait, you know, as patient as I think we as Bear fans would like to be to make sure he's being played at the right time, we might not be able to keep him off of the field, where as opposed to, you know, Mike Glennon just being an absolute nightmare of a starting quarterback to try to groom Mitch with. We had to throw Mitch out there because it just couldn't get any worse than it was. So, you know, it was an ugly situation that Mitch walked into, you know, being drafted by the Fox and you know, with Dole Loggins as his offensive coordinator. God, that guy was a disaster, you know, and it just like I said, no offensive weapons, nobody to throw to. Jordan Howard was the extent of the offense that we had, you know. We drafted Tariq Cohen that year, and he was a pleasant surprise that came along, you know, as the season progressed. But, you know, it was like Mitch wasn't set up to succeed right away. You know, it's like that wasn't how it was. And Fields is in a much better spot than Mitch was, for sure. So I don't know. Like, I have very mixed feelings. I'm very excited that we have Justin Fields. I would like to see him play as soon as possible, but I would also like to you know, be patient with it and see what Andy Dalton can do, and see if we can do what Kansas City did and let the kids sit and learn for, you know, a good chunk of the season. And because once he gets the job, and I said this in the podcast today, once he gets the job, it's
his to keep.
There is no giving it back. So I think that's why we want to be smart and, you know, smart/patient with when we put him out there. Because once he gets the job, that's it. He's not giving it back to anyone else.
Also, when you were saying how you like the price that we spent for him, I have a friend who's a Giants fan, and he said that he's very happy with that pick because they didn't need a quarterback. They have Daniel Jones, who
right.
he's got potential. And yeah, it's a good trade for both teams. That's a trade you like to see in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like I mentioned just a minute ago, but you know, the dominoes that had to fall in order for Fields to be available to us. Number one, the Jets had to take Zach Wilson, and they did. Then the 49ers had to take Lance or Trey Lance, and they did. Then Atlanta had to pass, and you know, they had to believe in Matt Ryan to take a weapon for him as opposed to the heir apparent. So once we cleared the Atlanta hurdle, then five was Cincinnati. They got Joe Burrow. They're not taking a quarterback, so we're good there. Then six was Miami. They're believing in Tua at the moment. They're not taking a quarterback. Then seven was who was seven? I'm trying to think. Seven was
I think it was
it was Detroit.
Was it?
It was Detroit, it was, and they took
it was a wide receiver,
offensive
right?
tackle.
Oh, wait, no, never mind.
So there was some inkling that they might take a quarterback, but they didn't. And then the first real danger zones were 8 and 9, Carolina and Denver, who have been rumored all offseason to be looking at a quarterback. They both take corners for some reason. They both take corners. Carolina's riding with Sam Darnold, and I don't know what the hell Denver's doing, if they're going with Bridgewater or Andrew or Drew Lock or whatever. And then the Cowboys trade to Philly, and Philly doesn't take a quarterback. So it's like all of these teams had to clear, and then the Giants, like you said, don't need a quarterback. They have Daniel Jones, so that they make the trade with the Bears. It only costs us a 1-4 next year and a 5 this year, which is, you know, extremely reasonable. Because for me, all along, it wasn't so much about being against the Bears taking a quarterback or trading up to get one. It was always about the price. If we're going to have to mortgage our future to get one guy, I was against that completely. But with the deal that Ryan Pace was able to make, that sounds like a fantastic deal for me. I can live with not having a 1-4 next year to get Justin Fields. That's an absolutely acceptable trade for me. So I was more than happy. I mean, I was terrified when I saw the graphic scrolled board that said the Giants made a trade with the Bears. I was absolutely crapping my pants, man. I was like, oh, God. Oh, God, he did it. I can't believe this. He did it. He did it. Oh, God. What's it going to cost us? We got Justin Fields. Okay, great. Awesome. We got Justin Fields. That's awesome. What did it cost? What did it cost? Five this year, a one next year, and a four next year. Ugh. It's like, is that it? That's all it cost? Oh, okay. All right. We didn't have to give away the store in order to make the trade. I'm on board. I'm thrilled. I'm beyond thrilled now. And then I was absolutely tickled pink the next day when we got Tevin Jenkins. But, you know, I was thrilled. It was like all along I was terrified that the desperateness of our situation with Pace and Nagy being on, you know, a winner, you're done type of understanding right now, that it would just be, you know, every team would try to fleece us in order to allow us to make this trade. And if I actually heard or saw a video, it was actually about the Broncos making their pick, and the general manager for the Broncos is on the phone, and you hear him say, "Ryan, it's going to cost you a one, a two, and a three, and I think a one next year." That's what he wanted from Ryan Pace to move up to nine. So when obviously Ryan Pace, God bless him, declined that trade, he decided to go ahead and take they took Surtain. So they took the cornerback, Patrick Surtain the second, and, you know, Pace makes a deal at 11 to get the quarterback. So, you know, but that's the kind of price I was afraid they were going to make Ryan Pace pay in order to get up into the teams or into the top 10 or whatever, to be able to make that trade. That was the fear that I had. Is what that guy wanted from us was our day one and all of our day one and day two picks and a first rounder next year. You know, like that would have been too much. I would have been upset about that trade. But instead, Pace makes a deal with the Giants. The Giants give us a reasonable deal, and we got the guy that we wanted, that we didn't think we'd be able to get, and we have him. Because the other thing about the euphoria of getting Justin Fields, I think, has just as much to do with the fact that we never thought we'd be able to get him, and we got him. It's like he was a top-quality player. He shouldn't have been there at 11, and we got him. Not somebody else, but us. So. And then I'm also loving the stories of the rollout of hearing that the Vikings were going to take him at 14 if he had fallen, and the Bears jumped in front of them and stolen. So instead of having Justin Fields kick our ass two times a year, we get to use him to kick theirs twice a year. So, you know, and then, of course, who as a Bear fan isn't loving the Aaron Rodgers drama going on now? Just the mere possibility that Rodgers could be done in Green Bay is enough to help me sleep just peacefully at night, knowing that that guy's not going to be our problem anymore if he sticks to his guns. So
who knows? Maybe he'll go to the Vikings or something.
That would never. I mean, he's under contract for three more years. They're not going to make a trade with an in division rival. That's not going to happen. I mean, I don't think they're going to let him go anywhere in the NFC. So it's like places like Denver. Yeah. Where he can go to like the Fangio or maybe even to Las Vegas with the Raiders and everything. So I was like, I think that's a far greater possibility, so that he's not, you know, in their face keeping them out of the Super Bowl every year, as opposed to that thing with Favre is he went to the Jets first, then he went to Minnesota and terrorized the Packers for a couple of years. The Packers didn't trade him to Minnesota. So yeah, so we'll see how that all unfolds. It's fun watching Packer fans squirm from the smug bastards that they usually are to the fact that Jordan Love might actually be their quarterback in 2021, because their superstar, their Christ reborn is going to walk away because he hates the general manager. So that sounds like fun to me, to level the playing field without him in the division anymore. I'll take that. for sure.
A lot of like NFL like reporters and stuff, they're saying that best thing for Green Bay to do right now is trade him and get as much as you can get, because if he's not going to play, you're trading coming off a former reigning MVP, then teams are going to pay a lot. Doesn't matter the drama or anything. Teams are going to pay a lot. So they should, if they just trade him now and just try getting all they could for him, be great for the NFC. It'd be great for us, honestly.
Yeah, well, for sure. Especially since we might have the next Aaron Rodgers in our locker room now. You know, the guy that's going to rule the division for the next 10 to 12 years. I would love to have that problem where we're trying to figure out how to fill out a roster because we have to pay him $40 million a season. I would love to have that problem, you know. We've got to kill the quarterback.
Real team problems.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. First world team problems, basically. Yeah. You know, we're a third world team right now, trying to work our way up to the first world, you know, and maybe second world because of our defense. But, you know, I'd rather have those problems where we're trying to figure out how we're going to fill out a roster and get everybody under the salary cap or keep a team together, because we got to pay Justin Fields $45 million a season in his second contract. So, that'd be a nice problem to have, as opposed to Mitch, you know, making the rookie wage scale because he didn't get his fifth year option picked up, and now he's playing for like the veteran minimum in Buffalo. So, you know, I look forward to having a problem like that with Justin Fields and trying to keep a team together after, you know, paying him $40+ million a season. So
I think what Elon just now put down that it could be the Russell Wilson situation where it solves itself. I think by that he means a clean swap, Wilson for Rodgers. What do you think of that?
That would be interesting. You know, I mean, that would certainly still have Green Bay with the best quarterback in the division for now. You know, if the Bears were going to trade for a veteran in the offseason, Russell Wilson was the guy I wanted. Because Russell Wilson, to me, was an elevate everybody around you kind of guy. As good as Deshaun Watson is, I don't believe he is that guy. Because he was the guy that came in with a plethora of receivers around him. DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, you know, just a bunch of weapons for him to throw the football to. I mean, he had to make throws and everything, but he had some of the NFL's best pass catchers catching him. With Russell Wilson, he's the guy that's turning, you know, Tyler Lockett into a $10 million a year wide receiver. And everything. He's the one that with his accuracy could hit a target where it needs to be. For me, watching Russell Wilson throw the football, like I can imagine a wide receiver could run down the sideline blindfolded with his hands out and Russell Wilson could put the ball exactly into the guy's hands. I mean, that's the kind of accuracy that Russell Wilson has. That's why just thinking about what he could be able to do with a guy like Darnell Mooney, with the deep ball and everything. It's like just he would be the guy trading away, you know, the assets or mortgaging the next couple of years to get Russell Wilson, for me, strangely enough, you know, or hypocritically for me, would have been worth it. He would have been the one guy that I would have been happy about making a deal like that for. But, you know, all those rumors about Stafford and Deshaun Watson and all the other 1,000 quarterbacks the Bears have been attached to in this offseason, I didn't think any of them were worthy enough of that kind of deal. So, but trading Wilson for Rodgers would be a pretty even swap. I mean, at the beginning of the season, Russell Wilson was the NFL MVP. Nobody was playing better than him for the first, you know, 7-8 weeks of the NFL season. And Rodgers was just consistently, you know, when the Seahawks began to struggle, his productivity went down a little bit. And, you know, Rodgers came along and just kind of kept plugging along with Green Bay and everything, became the MVP. But, you know, if that would be interesting. But again, with that being an NFC to NFC trade, what makes that especially impossible, in my opinion, is that we play the NFC West this year, which means they would have to play against Rodgers in 2021. So I think for that reason alone, they wouldn't make that trade. I think for that reason alone, they wouldn't make that trade. I don't even know where that game is at, actually. I don't know if it's in Seattle or Green Bay. It's like, knowing Green Bay's lucky, it'd be in Green Bay, and Rodgers would come back and lead the Seahawks to a victory over Green Bay and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that trade to me makes sense. It's comparable in salary, and it's comparable in, you know, the level of talent and the players that you're getting. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Russell Wilson is off of the I won out of Seattle train right now. So I don't know if he was just, you know, trying to shake things up to let the front office know in his own subtle way that he wants things to change or whatever. But he seems to be content to be in Seattle now, as opposed to what he was when that cage was being rattled earlier in the off season. So,
this episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by Bet Online. This week has tons of sports action as the MLB, NBA, NHL are in full swing. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch is thrown, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sports news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in on the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Bears Talk Underground is also brought to you by Kansas City Steaks. You work hard and play hard, so treat yourself and stock up for the summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with the code SD at checkout. From classic steak cuts to USDA Prime to American-style Kobe, hard-to-find specialty cuts, and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. They make it so easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash frozen and delivered directly to your home, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with family while enjoying steakhouse quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon. That does sound good. Kansas City strips, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your house this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with the code SD at checkout. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD, KansasCitySteaks.com.
Yeah. Real quick, one more thing.
Sure.
So you're just going back to the number that Justin Fields was drafted at. Like you said, like you said in your episode that you put on, he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder because all these other quarterbacks were drafted before him. I think Mitch was drafted the first quarterback in the draft. So he's like,
he was.
So he said, oh, well, okay, I got drafted as the first quarterback. So, whatever, he wasn't like mad at a specific team for passing up on him or any teams. Justin Fields, on the other hand, as you said, he looked mad the whole time. He's like, no teams are drafting me. So
yeah,
especially the teams that passed up on him, he's going to have their targets. He's going to be ready and ready to pounce because he shouldn't be happy with them. They dropped him down to 11th overall. He should have been picked like second or third or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there was thought at the beginning when the 49ers made their trade that they were coming up to get him. You know, it seemed like the Jets were kind of locked in on Zach Wilson at 2. So that means the draft started at number 3, because we all know that Lawrence is going number 1 to Jacksonville. And it seems like the Jets are married to Zach Wilson. So, you know, who are the 49ers coming up to get? And they kept it a secret until the moment they made the pick. I mean, even from Trey Lance, the guy they ended up picking, he didn't know until like 30 seconds before they called his name that Trey Lance was the guy. So, I mean, they kept that a secret from literally everyone, including the player. So, you know, and then Justin Wilson, like I said, Atlanta didn't go with the quarterback. They're sticking with Matt Ryan. And, you know, Cincinnati didn't need him. Miami doesn't need him. Detroit could have, but instead they decide, you know, they're going to go with Goff. I mean, they made the trade there, so why not? And, you know, it's like I said, Carolina and Denver at 8 and 9 were the real danger spots for them to take the quarterback. Neither of them did. They both went with corners. And then it was Dallas wasn't going to take him. They just gave Prescott $40 million a season. So that wasn't going to be a danger spot. But Philadelphia trading into that spot at 10 made me a little bit nervous, because even though they got Jalen Hurts, they just got rid of Carson Wentz. So maybe they'd be in line to take another quarterback. Instead, they go with Devontae Smith. And, you know, they go ahead and leave the Bears open to be able to try to make a trade with the Giants, who didn't need a quarterback at 11, and get their guy. So, I mean, it really worked out. The hurdles that had to be cleared for that to open it up, it feels like destiny. You know, it feels like this was the guy that we were meant to get. All the things that needed to happen in order for Fields to be available for us did, in fact, happen. So it wasn't like back in 2014. I mean, I still wake up screaming when I think about the Bears at number 14. They're picking 14th overall in 2014. And my favorite guy going into the draft was Aaron Donald. And he makes it all the way to pick number 13. And the rumor was it's ironic, if he makes it past the Giants at like 11 or 12, then he will fall to the Bears at 14 and we can grab him up. And instead, the Rams, who were sitting there at 13, didn't have to trade up. 13 was their spot. They have taken a defensive lineman in the first round like 4 years in a row. They take Aaron Donald for some reason. We don't get him. And we made out okay with Kyle Fuller and all, but we could have had Aaron Donald. And that one still stings to this day. That we don't have Aaron Donald because the goddamn Rams took another one. It was like their fifth. They had like five number one picks on their defensive line there after they drafted Donald, you know. And it's just like, why did they take him? They don't need him. They got four number one picks on that line already. Why did they take Donald? That one still bugs me. That didn't happen to us this time. It wasn't that the Eagles jumped ahead of us, you know, where we could have been at 11 and took him when they already have Jalen Hurts in the roster and everything that needed to happen for us to be able to get him. It did happen, and he's our guy. You know, it just felt like it was meant to be, which is why I think a lot of Bear fans feel especially good about this pick. So, Elon, yeah. Did you have something?
No. Thanks. I gotta go.
Take care, Eli. Oh, so anyway, I've mentioned this a couple of times. Our second round pick, Tevin Jenkins, he's the guy that if the Bears had stuck at 20, that's who I wanted us to take. I wanted an offensive tackle. I was more of in the team building mode as opposed to the trade away the store to get our franchise quarterback mode. I was heavily against that because, as I said before, just terrified is what the asking price would be, and that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were desperate enough to pay that price to try to save their own jobs so they could be here in 2022 to develop the guy. But, you know, Tevin Jenkins was the guy that I wanted at 20 if we'd have stood pat. And instead, he makes it out of the first round somehow, which I was absolutely stunned by. And then, you know, we're sitting at 52 in the second round. The first few picks come off the board. In the second round, I'm sitting there on Friday. It's like, could this guy fall to us at 52? And then all of a sudden, I see the Bears logo pop up there. They've made the trade with Carolina. We're going to be picking at 39. And guess who we took? Tevin Jenkins. Like, good Lord. I get to have my cake and eat it too. We got the quarterback. I got my favorite quarterback and the guy that I wanted if we'd stayed at 20. This is like, you know, this is Christmas in April. Or, yeah, it was still April. April 30th was Friday. So, yeah, this is Christmas in April for me. I can't believe this is happening. You know, probably my two favorite players in the draft, they're ours. They're going to be ours. And very excited about it. The only thing I did not like was giving up the third-round pick in order to get Jenkins. Not a fan of giving up the third-rounder. But to move up 13 spots from 52 to 39, yeah, that's going to cost you. And I can live with that. And what I can especially live with is that all of the picks in the Tevin Jenkins trade were 2021 picks. So he didn't give away future assets to move up to get Jenkins. It was just damage we had to sustain or losses we had to deal with here in 2021. So not like the Justin Fields trade where we gave up two picks in next year's draft to get him. Every pick exchanged in the Tevin Jenkins trade was for a 2021 pick. So we're already past what we paid for Tevin Jenkins. So, and then day three comes along, and we go tackle again. Larry Baram, a tackle out of Missouri. What I like about Jenkins and Baram is probably more the attitude that they're bringing, because I know there's a big discrepancy. 39 to 151, that's 112 picks between Jenkins and Baram, because we didn't have a third rounder or a fourth rounder this year. So we had to all the way to 151 to get our next pick. But it's just, these guys have a very big problem with people who wear different uniforms than them. So, or at least that's what they're saying. You know, these are guys that are going to be maulers, and they're going to be out there punishing people. And, you know, we're the Bears, goddammit. We want to be the nastiest and meanest team out there. And it's time we play like it. You know, not since we've had a guy like, since, you know, the early days of Kyle Long, or in the heyday of Olin Krutz and those guys, have we had, like, you know, nasty guys on the line of scrimmage. So it's like, it's nice to at least have that attitude. Maybe they can bring that in so that we can be that, you know, team that runs at will, but also has the skill with our quarterback and the receivers and everything to light up the scoreboard, you know, and to be an explosive offense. We want to be able to do everything, which is what makes Kansas City special. They can run the ball just as well as they throw it, which says a lot, because they can throw the ball pretty damn well. So, and then the running back, Khalil Herbert, I've heard good things about him, and kind of a change of pace back that he can be. Daz Newsome, I think, is going to be more of a punt returner out of the gate than somebody that can contribute on offense. We finally got a corner in the sixth round with Thomas Graham Jr. And then the seventh round pick, is it Kyrus? I haven't yet to hear anyone pronounce this guy's first name. Kyrus Tonga, I think. I know Tonga is the last name, but Kyrus, the first name, a nose tackle out of BYU. He's a space eater, 325 pounds, you know, be a good backup for Eddie Goldman. So, you know, and everybody seems to think we had a great draft. The experts and what have you, high draft grades for the Bears. So, like, I don't know. I mean, it feels good to see that, and kudos to Ryan Pace for getting the job done and for doing well in this. You know, with this being such an important draft for him. You know, this was his last chance, and he's got an opportunity. He's already added another wide receiver in free agency since the draft ended. But this was really like his last chance to add to the roster before OTAs and all that stuff begin. So, you know, I think he did a phenomenal job. The Justin Fields trade alone made the draft. You know, being able to move up and get the quarterback, the second best quarterback in a lot of people's opinion, not just mine, but experts and everybody. I mean, there was a reporter for the NFL Network who said that she polled half the league, so 16 teams, and at least half of them had Fields as QB1 in the draft. So at least a quarter of the NFL believes that Justin Fields is the best quarterback in the draft, period, and we got him. So that's amazing. And, you know, I'm very excited to see what this kid's going to do. There's just something about his demeanor, his presence. It just, everything is different, you know, than it was with Mitch, who was a great kid, a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Seemed like a decent enough leader. I don't think leadership was a problem for him, or getting his teammates to play with him or play for him. I don't think that was an issue for Mitch, but it was everything else. Reading defenses, making moves on the fly, that kind of thing. Especially after, for one reason or another, he stopped running. When Mitch stopped running, it's almost like he lost his mojo. And I know he got himself hurt. He got banged up, you know, a couple of times running and everything. But, you know, it just seemed like the magic that he was able to produce in flashes in 2017 and early on in 2018. I mean, think about that Patriots game where he almost single-handedly won the game just by running the football for us. It's like he got hurt in that Rams game, and he's never really quite been the same since then. And then early on in 2019, he got hurt again, I think it was his other shoulder this time, against the Vikings in week 4. And, you know, it's just like he never quite ran the same after that or with the same he didn't come to that decision as quickly. It wasn't instinctual like it was before. He always seemed to be thinking out there, which as a football player, no matter what position you're playing, the last thing you want to be doing after the ball has been snapped is thinking. You just want to be out there reading and reacting. That's what all the film study is for. That's what for the practice reps. That's what all that stuff is for. So that when you get onto the field, it's read and react. There is no time to think on a football field. If you're thinking, you're losing, period. And I think that's what was hurting Mitch the most, especially in 2019 and again in 2020, was that he wasn't reading and reacting. He was thinking. He wasn't, you know, taking what the defense was giving him. He wasn't seeing what was out there. He was thinking out there. And that's what's going to hurt you. And I think that, Fields is extremely intelligent. Like I read that he could have gone to Harvard, or he was accepted to Harvard on his academics. And, you know, don't know if you know, that's not an easy thing to do. So this is a smart guy who was also heavily recruited by Northwestern, who's basically the Ivy League school of the Big Ten. It's just, unfortunately, Northwestern is Northwestern, and they have a good season every now and then. But, who wants to be on the team that goes 5-6 one year and then maybe 7-4 the year after that kind of thing. He went to Ohio State, which is the best program in the Big Ten by a mile, and played for a national championship, played in the playoffs both seasons that he was there. So, yeah, it's a very different thing, a very different animal we're facing with Justin Fields. And it kind of feels like this time we finally got it right. We got the right guy with the right experience. His football IQ is off the charts. From everything that I've heard, somebody that his teammates in Ohio State loved playing for and things like that. It's like everything for Justin Fields is coming up aces across the board. So, no player is perfect. He has his flaws from time to time. He had some down games and whatnot, but in the end, they won those games. Everyone wants to talk about how he struggled in the Big Ten championship. Well, they won that game. That it may not be because of Justin Fields, but they won that game. He did enough in order for his team to win. The only two games that he lost in his time at Ohio State were both playoff games. That national semifinal against Clemson in 2019, which they would have won if the receiver hadn't dropped the ball. Justin Fields made the throw. It bounced off the kid's chest and ended up getting picked off in the end zone. Like, if he catches that ball, Ohio State wins that game. And then last year makes it to the national championship game, beats Clemson in the national semifinal this time, and makes it to the title game, and only to run into what's probably the best college football team of all time in the national championship game. I mean, they hung with Alabama early, but in the end, they were just too much. So their defense could not handle Devontae Smith, who had like 240 yards receiving in the first half, for Christ's sake. So, yeah. But, otherwise, he was undefeated in the regular season. And this is also a guy, and you got to remember, Big Ten was not supposed to play in the fall. They were not supposed. They were going to play spring ball, like a lot of conferences were, and then slowly but surely, when they saw the SEC get off to a good start, they all started saying, "Oh, we're going to start. We're going to play early. We're going to play. We're going to play." Justin Fields led the charge, led the petition for the Big Ten to play in the fall. He didn't want to play in the spring. He wanted to play in the fall, and led the charge, and started a petition that got like over 300,000 signatures, and the next thing you know, the Big Ten's playing like a 6 or 7 game schedule, just enough for them to, for someone, quote unquote, someone to qualify for the college football playoff at the end of the season. So, you know, this guy is a leader, and I really am looking forward to what he's going to be able to do in a Bear uniform. So, anyway, guys, I think that's what'd you say there, Alan? Pre-snap read, and I don't know. We'll see, because you know, like I said, he had his struggles against the. What happened? Oh, there we go. Thought I lost the room for a second. He had some, like I said, he had that struggle, those struggles against Northwestern. They seemed to have a beat on him in that game. He threw some early interceptions and everything, but he was able to recover from that. And pre-snaps read, you can fix that. You know, that's coachable. These are problems that can be fixed. And all the film that I've seen, you know, analysts and whatnot doing their jobs, like once the ball is snapped, he's making the right reads, he's making the right throws, finding the, you know, going through the progression naturally, finding the open receiver. If the first guy's not there, the second one will be, and putting the ball where it needs to be, kind of thing. I mean, you think about Mitch, even in the times when he did make the right read, he always was off target with his throw. How many times did he miss a wide open Taylor Gabriel or Anthony Miller, or overthrow Allen Robinson, or, you know, put one in a spot where it wasn't catchable, or actually put it in the spot where there were no yards after the catch because he didn't put the ball where it needed to be? That was an issue for Mitch. How many big plays, first downs, touchdowns did we miss because Mitch could not put the ball where it was supposed to be once he found the right guy? And, you know, that doesn't seem to be an issue for Justin Fields. Accuracy is one of his strong points. Making the reads post-snap during the play is a strong point of his. So, and I think pre-snap read, like I said earlier on in the show, was, you know, with all the experience that he's going to be surrounded by, all the experience that Mitch did not have when he first joined the Bears, DeFilippo's the quarterback coach, Bill Lazor, Matt Nagy was, you know, helped groom Patrick Mahomes, Tom Herman was a quarterback guy from the University of Texas, you know, Henry Burris, who was, you know, didn't do much in the NFL, but was a Canadian football legend trying to get a coaching career started. 18 years as a professional quarterback. He's our quality control coach. He's in there. Not to mention Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP. Andy Dalton's, you know, 3-time Pro Bowler. Been to the playoffs a bunch of times with the Bengals. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people surrounding Justin Fields that will help him be able to get over. If pre-snaps read are an issue, he's got a lot more help than Mitch had to improve upon that. So, anyway, guys, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks to Billy, Evan, Eli, Elon. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. For coming in tonight. And if you missed any part of the show, I'm going to be posting it. It'll be up where the podcasts are. Bearstalk Underground. You can find it on Apple, on Android, Spotify, wherever it is. It'll be all available tomorrow. So thanks for coming in, guys. And next week is going to be a fun show because my time slot, Wednesday at 7, is when the NFL schedule is being released. So we'll be doing kind of a live NFL schedule release episode next week. So be sure and come in for that. And, you know, we'll have a good time and talk about what the season's going to look like, you know, because like everybody's talking about, you know where in the season you see Justin Fields maybe taking over at quarterback. Let's find out where that bye week is, because maybe that could be the natural spot for Justin Fields to take over the starting spot in at quarterback for the Bears. We'll look at the games before the bye week. You know, can he take over? Is it like a week 8 or week 9, like right in the middle of the season kind of thing? What are the games like? What could our record be going into the bye week and such. We can have a lot of fun with the what ifs and all that kind of stuff, and we get to see where these games are, when they're taking place, how many national TV games could Justin Fields be a part of, and all the rest of that stuff. So come back next Wednesday, and we'll do the NFL schedule release. So thanks for coming in, guys. We'll see you next time.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.